Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. How are you? Where have you? What do you mean you've only just got here? For goodness sake.
It's very tardy of you.
He's a bit, really, isn't it? Tardy. Mm.
We've been here for ages, haven't we?
Mm.
Well, yeah, we have.
About 4 hours now, yeah. I reckon.
So just think about it, turning up at this time. We've been here for ages.
Yes.
You're going to have to write lines after this, whoever you are.
I think you're going to have to look like young Simpson himself.
I want 1,000 I will not be late again lines. Thank you very much.
I think that'll Wallace. Do nicely.
Wallace Simpson.
No, you numpty.
Who?
Homer's son.
Homer?
Bart.
Bart. See, you couldn't remember the name, could you?
Step up to the blackboard, party people.
Read the last story.
You know what we didn't mention?
What?
Linkin Heck, that the creator of The Simpsons has died. He should have been in a real Gone Kids bit, and we forgot to put him in.
Quick.
Sam Simon passed away. He had cancer, and he gave away... We talked about him a little while ago. He gave away his fortune to all the animal conservation charities. And it was a very, very huge... Right. It was a huge, humongous thing for him to do. It was very philanthropic.
Yeah, well, Paul's responded to our former story before the break. And he says, taking Barbie in our house would probably only repeat swear words.
Actually, that's true. I've been in that house.
And talking of having a swearing session, thank you, Paul. The row over steak, I can understand this, which has caused such a rumpus.
Rumpus! Rumpus steak!
Did you get it? Oh, never mind. I've been
He didn't mean that, ladies and gentlemen. I caught on to it.
Oh.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Anyway, it's caused probably the biggest wake-up of Facebook I've seen for a very long time, as Jeremy Clarkson has been suspended by the BBC after allegations, initially, that's what they wrote, of him throwing a punch, which he didn't. Which is clearly...
He might have done.
He might not.
He might, but the non-thrown punch might have connected with the other bloke's chin.
Might not have done.
Might not have done. Might never have happened. Because that's the mystery.
According to the family who were actually there, working in the place, all they did was have a big shouting match at each other and there was no barney.
And Jeremy says that there was a bit of pushing. Jeremy admits there was a bit of pushing,
which
then apparently has been misconstrued as a punch. But I will let you continue. Sorry, I'm just so excited about this.
Why? Rachel's not.
I think it's the biggest news story in the world.
It's not in the world, I'll have you know. It's not.
He's not. You see, I knew there was going to be terse comment.
Hello.
Yeah. It's not. It's not in the world. It's not.
Well, apparently...
she's schooled.
Because I've been playing with toys, working, I haven't had a look just in the last couple of hours, but it was very close to 1 million signatures online saying bring Clarkson back.
They were all his mum with different identities.
There's now another petition been launched to get the Director General Lord Tony Hall fired. Which is doing rather well as well. And the other person coming in the firing line is the boss of BBC Television and the producer himself. Some insiders, ex-insiders, have been dishing the dirt on the boss of BBC Television. And equally, some people have been dishing the dirt on Mr. Diamond as well. So there's a whole load of people coming out going, bound to happen. And I have to say, my comment was quite simple. This isn't about Clarkson at all. That's complete rubbish. It's not about Clarkson. It's about misguided management of broadcast talent because the management have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea how to manage broadcast talent. I mean, look, Rach and I have to part with Leo every week.
I know.
I mean, the stress it causes us is unbelievable.
Oh, look, I have to go. As soon as this show's over, ladies and gentlemen, I'm that stressed. I have to retire to my boudoir for at least 8 hours.
Well, exactly.
I do as well. I do. I have to go and lie down in a brightened room.
Are you suggesting that we cause you problems.
No, he's suggesting that he's exhausted from himself.
Yeah, he says it. Well, yeah, and it's wrong. It's just wrong to be treated in that way.
Yeah, our star of this week, Paul, says, sorry, Rach, I signed the Bring Back Clarkson petition.
Well, I know you would, and that's okay. You love Top Gear and you love cars, and I don't mind because that's what makes you who you are.
Yep. So moving along, the whole thing went down into well, meltdown, actually. And then I actually worked something out that a couple of days ago, the amount of people that signed the petition were the stakeholders of the BBC, and that amassed over £100 million worth of clients.
Stakeholders?
Yes.
Well, why didn't somebody just give him one of those?
I've been trying to get all these puns in for ages. I've been working on them as well. I did it on Facebook and nobody even caught up on it. Never mind, eh?
Maybe they were just bored because it's a boring story and
I think they
roll.
Were so angry. they were like possessed.
You know what really is important about this story, though?
Please tell me something important about the story.
What, the lack of management at the BBC?
No, not really. We've been Eric and I have been talking a lot this week about news values and the way that news values stand up and the way they don't. Mm. The reason this story stands up and has become such a major thing is because actually all that we're talking about is one man who is a TV presenter, but he's probably one of the funniest men on television. And he's adopted an attitude towards the
establishment.
Well,
he's anti-establishment, isn't he? It's simple.
Well, I don't even think he's anti-establishment. I think, if anything, he's quite establishment.
He's anti-everything.
But he isn't. If you think where he lives, who his friends are, where he dines, everything else, he's quite establishment. What he is,
he just attacks.
He doesn't even attack. What he is, he's a bloke. And for some reason, this world objects to blokes being blokes. They like women being women and children being children, but they hate blokes being blokes. And Jeremy Clarkson is just a bloke. He's the bloke you meet in the pub, you like having a laugh with, and he's made it into a work of art. And that's what about this story is about. The fact that this ludicrous world are hating somebody because he's being a manly man who's quite witty and funny at the same time.
Nah.
I'm not buying any of that.
Okay,
I've got another theory. You don't need to hear this again from me. I say the same thing every time this man's name comes up. So
What is it you don't like about him, Rach? It's interesting. I just think he's wonderful.
I find him abrasive. I find him offensive. I don't find him funny at all. I find him droll. I find him boring. I find him... He's everything that your drunk uncle is when he's belligerent at the Christmas table. It's just he just rubs me the wrong way. And I think he should be nailed shut in a coffin and pushed off a boat.
No, do you know
what? But, that's pretty extreme.
I'm not arguing with you, Rach, because I think it's something completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different. Clarkson is an absolute genius.
I think so.
And the reason I say that,
I have to go now. I'm hanging up my Skype. This is making me sick. No, I feel physically ill. He's not a genius. He's not a genius.
He is because he's acting. He's actually on the television. Sorry, Jeremy, you're outed.
That doesn't make him a genius.
He's
a good actor, it doesn't make him a genius.
It does,
no, it doesn't.
Because he knows what his
audience
wants.
So every good
wants.
Actor in the world is ergo a genius by that logic, and that's completely ridiculous.
No. I took breath and you wouldn't let me finish.
Well, made the mistake of taking said breath.
Let me finish this off. Him as a genius.
Yeah, because he knows what his audience wants.
Absolutely.
Clarkson's audience does not want mamby-pamby, princy programming with ballet dancers on it. They want...
with ballet dancers on it.
Yep.
I don't think insulting other cultures and minority groups is a way of being a genius. I don't think it's a way of being funny.
But
I don't think putting other people down is a way to be funny. I just don't think it's droll.
Which culture groups has he insulted? You know, you've got to be able to make jokes about people. This is where political correctness.
Yes, you do, and this is the point. People make jokes about this sort of thing all the time, and some of them are hilarious.
Mm.
And then you get other people who just don't know how to deliver said joke, and it comes out as completely offensive.
Yeah,
and
But the thing is, Rach, he's in England.
Probably somebody had bashed him with a steak, I think it would be great.
That'd be hysterical. Okay, let me put this scenario to you. There are jokes that are funny here in Slovakia,
yeah.
Which if I said them on the radio now, people would complain to Ofcom about them in the UK. They would actually complain. In Slovakia, they would never generate one complaint. It's absolute fact.
Yeah.
Because the culture and the mindset is different on certain areas. So what happens is a Slovak person will tell a joke about another person, rather like it used to be in the UK, where the Southern Irish, were the butt of all jokes.
Yeah.
And it's still the same here between the Slovaks and other communities. Now, if I tell that joke on an Ofcom licensed radio station, I could get into serious trouble for it. So I don't tell those jokes. I have to tell global jokes. But remember one thing. Top Gear is primarily for a BBC audience.
Yeah.
BBC Two. It just so happens that hundreds of millions of people around the world understand Clarkson's humour, so buy into it. But ultimately, he's got to be measured on British values and British humour.
Yeah. Australian humour is based on British humour. We're a convict nation. We're a colony of yours, for crying out loud. Mm. But I mean, you know, I mean, I get that everybody's signing this petition, and I get it. And I don't think if somebody's been wrongly accused of something, I don't think that's fair, regardless of whether I like them or not.
Mm.
And I think that's the wrong thing to do. And I think these people at the BBC need to be taken to task about it, because it's just not fair.
Mm.
But I think you will find that as many people as signed this petition, there are as many who would sign a petition to not have him on there anymore, and I would be leading the charge.
Well, there is a petition on there. No, wait a minute, Lee, there is. Yeah. Let's fire Jeremy on the exact same website as the pro-Jeremy one, and I think it did stand at about 20,000, something like that, yesterday, Rich. No, sorry, this morning.
There's a lot of people who don't like him. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
I'm sure there are.
No, you're not.
Well, that's anybody in entertainment. There are going to be people who like you who don't like
you. People are missing one thing. If they don't like it, change channel.
There is another point.
I don't watch it.
No, and you're quite... You see, you're doing the right thing, Rach. You're
right with my remarks.
Yeah, really, I'm gonna be nice to you now. You are doing the right thing. You don't like a program, you turn it off, or you go to a different channel, or whatever.
Right, didn't complain about it. Sign petitions, I just don't watch it.
Right, but what the BBC have done is they've removed that option. They've taken the option away for people to make the choice. And that's what they're doing wrong. In 2015, you do not reduce choice. If anything, you extend choice.
That's a very,
well, actually,
very
the thing
point.
I don't understand about this at all is why are they punishing the other fella and Richard Hammond? Why are they punishing them by taking off this show that they're
exactly.
on?
Nobody understands why they're taking the show off.
Why didn't they do it?
Exactly.
And the reason behind it, supposedly, is because basically this has all been flammed up so Clarkson can take Top Gear to the highest bidder.
Well, he can't because he doesn't own it. The BBC owns it.
I was going to say, who owns it?
He still owns part of it.
No. The controlling factor is with the BBC. So
this is
And added to that, Lee... By cancelling the programme this week, the BBC have opened themselves up to lawsuits for loss of contractual programming. So they're costing the licence fee payers money by not thinking it through. And the reason they don't think it through is they ain't broadcasters.
I think that's a really, really good point. I didn't realise that he'd given over the majority of the shareholding. I knew he'd sold it. Listen, can we just analyse this for a minute, though? Because I do think it's sad, and being a tabloid, a red-top journalist, I do tend to lean towards protecting the underdog. And I would say, right, Rachel, at this moment, that Jeremy Clarkson is the underdog. He is being unfairly attacked by millions and millions of people. And in, you know, in your heart,
it's totally a small group of people. And as Paul has just said, he fully agrees, if you don't like the show, don't watch it. Simple. Yeah. That's what he says.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I don't like it, so I don't watch it.
But what I'm saying is, let's analyse what. Well, let's just take 2 minutes to analyse what he's done.
I've got to read this firstly, sorry. He said, I agree with the blokes on this. Jeremy is funny. no, but I love this bit. Brilliant. Jeremy is just a funny, grumpy old man who loves cars, just like me. I agree with that. I resemble that remark.
I think that's absolutely true. But think about this, right? One thing that he got a major complaint about and was taken to task over, and ultimately no action was taken against him, was pretending that they were doing a trade mission to India. Mm. And he carried out part of the trade mission without his trousers on. And everybody went up the wall and said how disgusting and insulting to India it was. I can't see that being insulting to India. I couldn't see it then. I can't see it now.
See it when you were there, which you would have suffered.
Well, yeah, exactly. There just wasn't any. Indians have a fabulous, funny, childlike sense of humour, and that would have been funny to them. Mm. It wasn't offensive. And then also going out to the Falklands with the year of the war on his car. Bit insensitive, maybe.
He didn't go to the Falklands, he went to Argentina.
Sorry, Argentina, that's right. And with
two different countries. Argentina is Argentina. Right. Falklands belongs to Britain.
Yes, right. Okay. So he did that. And what really was offensive about having FKL and the year on the car? And if people were offended, did he really deserve to be taken to task in the way that he did? Why is Richard Hammond, for what he said about Mexicans, never been really taken to task? That was just taken as a joke. His joke about...
Lee, how many people did we upset the other week?
Hundreds. We deliberately tried to upset everybody we could think of. Anybody who was listening to the show, we tried to upset.
Yep. And we have a message now.
When we do it, it's genius.
Oh, I see. I now have a message for all Australians. Okay. We think we'd better back everything Rachel says from here on in, or she'll never talk to us again.
I still love you. It's all right. Red 5 standing by.
let's stay in Australia for a minute. Rachel, we need... what the heck happened in this suicide attack?
This is not good. This ISIS business is just the spawn of everything that's bad and evil in the world. This young fella, he lives in the northern suburbs of Melbourne, and it's a bit of a misfit and a bit lost in the world. And this is, of course, their target audience and their target recruitment pool. We've heard about lots of kids running away to join ISIS. Jake Bilotti is his name, and he was 18 years old, and apparently we see him inside a white van, there's a bomb inside, and he blows himself up, and he's our Western jihadist, and that is just the most disturbing thing I can possibly think of. His family here is absolutely devastated, but we don't know for sure what's happening, because DFAT... the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade are unable to confirm for sure what's going on over there, because we can never get accurate data of what's going on in Iraq. It's really difficult. So we don't know for sure what happened, but all evidence points to the fact that this kid's gone on a suicide bombing mission and he has been lured over there. The thing that concerns me about these kids running off to join these radical groups is the fact that when you're a kid, and even some adults that I know, your brain isn't wired up as it would be if you were an adult. So you have no critical. You don't have full critical thinking. You can't fully assess threat and risk. That's why you see kids jump off big gigantic cliffs into big things of water and jumping off piers and, you know, doing very dangerous and impulsive things right then and there in the heat of the moment, because they don't have those reasoning skills that you get when your brain is fully developed. So ISIS, who have got a really polished PR machine, they tap into the vulnerable kids. This particular kid, his mother died not long ago, so he was in a very vulnerable place. He bought into the whole PR. They started talking to him and coaxing him, much like what happens when there's a, you know, a cult recruits somebody. Mm. And he's been lured that way. And no child is, who's been involved with these people is any different. Those two young girls from the UK who ran off to marry people and join ISIS, same deal. It's just really disturbing, and what we need to worry about is where they're recruiting from. Their reach is a lot further and a lot slicker than we realise, I think.
And when you think of the people they've got in there, as in Jihadist John, who is an IT expert, it's not surprising that they will fight. And this is one of the things that, because people have been complaining in the UK about the level of frontline troops that will or won't be around in a few years. The fact is, the war is being waged globally. It's not just with
and
guns.
It's being waged in your child's bedroom in their computer.
Yep. So
it's
we've
being
got to
waged
do it properly.
Under your roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's dangerous. It's scary. And you know how impressionable kids are. And when kids feel vulnerable, they're even more impressionable. And it is such a target audience for them. They are insidious. They are insidious. And the quicker we can wipe them off the face of the earth, the better.
Okay, we're going to move on because we are getting very short on time. We are literally getting very short on time, believe it or not. So we're going to move on. Thank you, Rachel. The bit of a rumpus in the UK because a Conservative chap who's in Suffolk has moved to the United States, but he's refused to stand down from his constituents. He still reckons that he is going to represent them, even though he's now in the US. And he says, well, I'm going to keep in touch from the US on Skype.
Well, yes, it's just like, well, what did you say about it? The man's mad.
Why?
The man's round the bend.
Why?
Well, because he is, because being a county councillor is not actually a really important thing and not a very respectable thing in reality. I'm not talking about this person particularly. I'm talking about the general perception of what county councillors and local councillors are about. They're in it for their own means, is the general view of them. And that when they start making money out of pretending to help people in their constituencies, in their localities, they just have got an incredibly bad reputation. And for a bloke to think that actually it's quite reasonable to go and do his job while living in America is just unbelievable. The basic principle of having... The basic principle of having a local councillor is the word local, and that means they're local to you. They live in the same village or on the same street or in the same town. You idiot, man.
Dinosaur. Rach, let's just ask you a question about... Not Melbourne as such, but... some of the other more rural constituencies there are in Australia, there must be cases where you've got some constituents who are probably 50k, 70k away from their councillor because of the mass scale of
that's
Australia.
Though, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you'll find that just about everywhere. They've got the fact that their electorate is so vast. You can't get to every corner. You can sit kind of, you know, try and sit in the middle, I guess, and work your way out. But like where Paul lives, for example, in the near the Lockyer Valley, there's this enormous stretch of hugeness that just goes on forever. And you got, one guy looking after that, and he's got to, travel all over the show. And it's enormous because we're so vast. You'll find it more so in the middle of the country and at the top end, I reckon. But Queensland itself is a huge piece of land, and Western Australia takes up one whole half.
Exactly. And I remember one particular morning, which I managed to get out of this meeting after a little bit of wangling with my team, but I was in one of the boardrooms at the BBC, and there's all these people around, and one guy was actually phoning in to the meeting. And a couple of decades ago, people were taking the mickey out of him, going, yeah, right, you're going to go do the gardening. And I said, no, he's just being a modern executive. Why waste all that time travelling all over the place?
And money.
Wasting
money.
Claiming the money on expenses, when all he's got to do is use Skype and probably be just as effective as somebody who's going to spend 2 hours in the car, claim 50 quid petrol and not really get much done other than what this bloke on Skype can do.
in Darwin, there's a coroner, there's a magistrate coroner in Darwin who, because he handles all the remote communities as well as Darwin, when he has to do does some stuff, he flies when he can, but it's very expensive and they can't afford it.
Yeah.
He, when it's the wet season, he physically cannot drive there. It's flooded. Mm. So he has to do it by video conference. He has to do it by phone. He has to conduct all his business that way.
And I tell you what, in a few years' time, if anybody's sensible, they will do that. I mean, for example, if I want to talk to my chairman in a minute, I pick up a phone, which is what they call a VoIP phone, but it's not Skype, it's a proper telephone. And we communicate with all the different offices around Europe for absolutely nothing, barring the internet cost. And we talk to each other. We will have online meetings. We will send files to each other, yada, yada, yada. And we get work done.
But this is... You're not saying that this council is right by saying this, are you?
I think it's possible.
I can't... Well, no, it isn't.
It depends what sort of an area you've got to cover.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about in Britain. You know, you can't walk out of your house without falling over another house. Everything is pretty tight in Britain. The fundamental aspect of having a local councillor, whether that's a county councillor or a borough councillor or a town councillor or a parish councillor, is that they are local to you. And what it is, because they're not important people. They don't deserve 10 grand a year and more to do what they do. They decide on things like whether you should be cutting your hedge or not, or there's a hole in the road. And what the idea is, this is what our government system is built on. It's a tier of government system, is that they can be taken out and walk down the road and say, look at that hole in the road. That's just broken my suspension. And then they go and look at your car and say, oh, it is broken, isn't it? Then they go to the council and say, look, that hole in that road, he's done that. You can't do that if you're living in America. You can do that if you're a businessman and you're talking about global business. You can't do it if you're a local councillor.
No, you can't. I'm with Lee on that, actually. I'm with Lee.
Well, if they gave him access to the... to the cameras in a town, then he would be able to see it the same as anybody else.
No, he would not.
There's nothing like using your actual eyes to look at something.
I'm not going to win this, have I?
Really quick example, right?
Well, you have to be quick, very quick.
Yeah, I will, because I sent you an email. Well, I've copied you in on an email. Really good news. We've been fighting for a long time about traffic in the village of the damned. Mm. Simple, not going to go into that. But because our MP... wasn't ensconced in London all the time and actually came to the village of the damned on a number of occasions, he actually witnessed what the truth of the situation was here. It wasn't just what I'd told him, or he'd got a little look out of Skype through the window and seen it. He actually spent time here. And now questions are going to be asked in the House of Commons about it. That is an empiric victory based on the system of governmental representation within this country, which he couldn't do on Skype.
I can see it coming one day, I really can. I've got to say thank you very much to everybody that's contributed this week from countries all over the world, which is rather nice. And don't forget that number if you want it again for next week, +421 904 261 345. That's +421 904 261 345, and you can interact with Rach and Lee and me. Won't that be fun for you? Time to say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Aren't you going to say kisses to Paul?
Goodbye, Paul. Red 5 standing by.
Say goodbye from the zit.
Well, yeah, goodbye, everybody. And kisses for Jeremy. And on that bombshell...
You've been rehearsing that one, haven't you?
I haven't.
Oh, blimey, I've got to go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you very much for your company. See you same time next week, same channel. Don't go away, there'll be more news for you then. And don't forget, interact with us.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.